Happy New Year! It is great to see all of you this morning. I want to welcome everybody to Cross Point Church, where we exist to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all of the nations. I am so happy whether you are joining us here in the building or whether you're joining us online. It is fantastic that all of you have chosen to start your new year here with us worshiping Jesus. So again, just a warm welcome to all of you. If you are new and visiting with us, please make sure that you stop by the Welcome Center before you leave because we have a little gift for you. We have a lot of great things coming up here in the new year, and I want to share a few of those with you. A lot of you, I'm guessing, are probably thinking of some New Year's resolutions. Maybe, I don't know, losing a few pounds seems to be a common one for people. But I want to suggest a different one. How about you guys all make prayer a priority for 2023? And you can start by joining us tonight, New Year's Day. We're going to have an all-church prayer night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. So I would love it to see all of your beautiful faces there tonight praying with us. The Family Values class is going to be starting this Saturday, January 7th. It'll be from 9:30 in the morning until 11:30. Dave and Gretchen Spooner are going to be leading this class and help people in finding their family values. You can contact Gretchen Spooner if you have any questions, and please RSVP if you plan to attend the class. It's going to be meeting at their home. You can join us for a chili cook-off and game night on Friday, January 13th from 7 to 10 p.m. That'll be downstairs in the Fellowship Hall. Crosspoint is going to be providing the drinks and the condiments, but we need you guys to provide the chili for the chili cook-off. We want to know who makes the best chili in our church. But maybe you don't like to make chili. I know I don't. So you can bring a dessert instead. And those are so much more fun to eat, right? Just kidding. Anyway, so please come, participate in the cook-off, eat some desserts, bring your favorite game. It's going to be a lot of fun. So please make sure that you put that night on your calendar. If you have questions about this event, you can talk to Jennifer Mullen, and she will fill you in. If you have a gift or a physical offering that you would like to worship the Lord with this morning, please place it in the box that is out in the cafe area right outside the sanctuary. You'll find all of these announcements, plus a whole lot more that's going on in our church in the upcoming weeks and months, in your Thursday weekly email, the Crosspoint Connection. If you're not signed up for that, make sure you stop by the Welcome Center. It's super easy to get signed up, and we'd love for you to know what's going on in our church. All of you little ones are dismissed now to go to kids' church. Well, Elizabeth Elliot said, "This year, let us ask God to dissolve all our hopes into a single hope, to know Christ and to be found in Him. May this be a year of desire radically transformed, a deeper, truer knowing of Christ as our all-sufficient one." Well, when we put our focus on Jesus, indeed, we will be transformed by His powerful word and presence in our lives. And Psalm 40, verse 3 says, "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." Only God knows what this new year holds. So New Year's Day is the perfect time to fix your eyes on Him. You never know who's watching you and whose life will be eternally changed because of your love for the one who first loved us. Let's pray. Jesus, we are truly thankful, Lord, that you did love us first, even when we were completely unlovable. Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear your truth this morning. I pray that you would open our hearts to you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you because your mercies are new every morning. Help us to fix our eyes on you, Jesus, because you are the one that holds the future in your hands. You are the God of new beginnings, and so I pray that you would help us to leave the past behind us and move forward with you. Lord, draw us closer to you. Change us by the power of your word. Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, speak to us. Help us to glorify the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you. Are you glad to be in church New Year's Day? You made it to church. Way to go. So today is a good day, of course, to be together as every day is. And I want you to know, if you're a guest here in particular, you have been prayed for today. The service has been prayed for today. And we're asking that God would meet with us. So I hope that we have come with expectation. I hope that we have come with hearts that are open to hear what God would speak to us today. And that God would indeed connect you deeper with Him and then connect us deeper with each other. Well, Michael Allen was to be speaking this morning, and he is positively sick today. And so he was frantically texting me yesterday, and he lined up Jim Black to be speaking, which I'm super excited because this week I was spending time with my family, and so I'm grateful for him to bring the word to us. I know that God actually has been preparing his heart this week, unbeknownst to him. And he got the call yesterday, and he wrote a message, and he's ready to go. So grateful for you, Jim. Jim is one of our shepherds here. Yeah, come on up. We'll get ready. After he's done, we're going to receive communion, and so prepare your hearts for that as well. And so he was supposed to do communion, so I'm going to do communion. He's going to speak, and Michael is watching us at home. Hi, Michael. Hope you're doing well. Hope you get better soon. Just one last thing before I hand it over to Jim. So I have been encouraging us as a congregation to read the Bible, right? And it'd be great for you to do it in a year. So many people said, hey, you know what? I've never done that. And they've done so the last couple of years. And said it has really been transformational to them. And so today, any day is a good day to start reading the Bible. But today is an extra good day because it's the first. And so if you have been considering that, or still considering it, I would really encourage you to do so. Just make it a daily discipline. I read mine in the morning. I use the U version, which is free of charge. You can download it, reading through the Bible chronologically. So you can do it with me if you want. You can look me up and we can do that together. But I would encourage you to do that because it's going to be impactful for you. So do something. I would encourage you to read the Bible through the year. If not, do something to make, to grow spiritually. And so, all right, Jim, let me pray for you.
Love it.
So excited that you're here. God, thank you for my brother, Lord, who is prepared in season and out of season. God, thank you for the work you've done in him and with him and through him throughout the years to bring us to this moment. God, as he speaks, Lord, I ask that he would feel your pleasure, God, your hand on him. God, that each one of our minds would be sharp, Lord, that our ears would be able to hear what you're saying to us. Bless my friend as he brings the word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Amen. Thanks, Dave. The motto in the Bible college that I went to a couple years ago, 70s, 80s, somewhere in there, was this: be ready to preach, pray, or die in a moment's notice. Dave prayed, I don't have to die, I just have to preach. So here we go. You know, I've been focusing on Isaiah 6 lately. So, you know, I try to read the Bible through in a year, and I'm not very good at that. I mean, I started doing that at about age 18, and I made it through several times. But lately here, I'm not very good at that because I have a little bit of ADD, and I get stuck on stuff. What was I going to say? I get stuck on stuff. And lately here, I've been stuck on Isaiah 6. And as I was thinking about it and mulling it over and looking up some words and stuff, I thought, you know, someday I would really like to preach this. Here we go. Michael called me yesterday about noon or so, and I was busy with my chainsaw cutting some wood and things and splitting some wood, and I thought, well, I think I'll just put this down and go sit in my office and listen to God and see what he has for us today. So here we are, and I'm excited about this opportunity to share with you what God has been doing in my own heart. And it will be kind of a sermon, I guess, or it will just be Jim sharing with you what God has been saying to me. And so I would like you to think, you know, Heather Delameter said this when she shared it some weeks ago. I would like you to think about just us sitting in our living room with the fire going and maybe the music playing softly, and we're chatting and just having a good time in the living room as we think about what God has done in us and through us in 2022 and what we are trusting God to do in us and through us in 2023. You know, in this beautiful picture in Isaiah 6, the prophet is in God's presence. And you know, if we read these verses, it probably takes about 60 seconds to read it. But I think it took a whole lot longer for Isaiah to experience this. This is one of the most profound worship experiences I have read in Scripture, except perhaps for the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus revealed to his followers a little bit of who he is. But this is a profound worship experience where the prophet finds himself in a vision. At night, in the middle of the day, we don't know. But the prophet finds himself lifted into the heavenly places, and there he has this revelation, this divine revelation, this graphic picture, this wonderful release of the nature and identity of the God of the Lord of hosts. And we have the privilege and the pleasure to read his notes, to eavesdrop a little bit on the conversation, what happened and what he experienced. So what I see in this context, in these verses, is that it begins with worship, as the prophet simply spends time in the presence of God, and we get to hear a little bit about what that's all about. It begins with worship. And then I'm going to take a little bit of a rabbit trail. I'm just forewarning you of that, okay? I'm going to take a rabbit trail. And I'm going to talk about waiting, because I believe, as I said a little while ago, that this took a whole lot more than 60 seconds for the prophet to experience. I think he was waiting in God's presence for what God was going to show him and say to him next. So I want to talk a little bit about waiting. Then we're going to come back to Isaiah 6 and look at this whole idea of God's leading for us to find his work for us to do. Okay, because that's what the prophet experienced after he spent some time worshiping and waiting. He understood the work to which God had called him. So we're going to look at that together. First of all, worship of God. Worship of God leads us to an awareness of the otherness of God. I was surprised yesterday when I was working on this message that my computer accepted that word, otherness. I guess it's actually a word, otherness. That is really a sense of the holiness of God, because God is holy, 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 as we'll see what the angels said. But that is the otherness of God. God is not flesh and bones like we are. God is other. And God is not sinful like we, our tendencies are. God is other. God is not ADD like Jim is. God is other. God is perfect in all of his attributes. And in this experience The prophet experiences, he sees this, he realizes this complete otherness of God. And he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two they covered their face. With two they covered their feet. And with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." What an experience. The train of his robe filled the temple. And the seraphim are there, angelic beings and six-winged angels, and they hid their faces and they hid their feet, but they had two more wings to be flying, and they just proclaimed what they experienced of the holy God and simply cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Let that ring in your soul for a minute, would you? Worship leads us to a sense of the otherness of God. Then we look at verse 4 and 5. We see that worship leads us to an awareness of our own unworthiness. We read, "And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke, and he said, 'Woe is me,'" the prophet is speaking now, "'woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In this vision of God, the holy, holy, holy Lord of hosts, Isaiah suddenly realizes his own humanness, his own frailty, perhaps his own sinfulness, and says, "Woe is me, I'm toast, I'm dead, because I'm in God's presence, and I realize that I'm a person of unclean lips," signifying that he was a sinful person, "and I live in the midst of a community of sinful people, and now I'm experiencing the holiness of God, face to face, as it were." What does he realize besides the holiness of God? His own unworthiness. His own frailty. His own tendency not to be like God. And he's overwhelmed with that sense of his own shortcoming, his own messed up life. But then worship leads us, verses 6 and 7, worship leads us to an awareness of our need for cleansing. That we need to be cleansed. And then we read, this is verse 6, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" You might be thinking, wait, just a minute here. What is this picture of the coal burning the prophet's lips? How does that work? What is that all about? Remember what Michael said some weeks ago about not taking the Bible literally? Because this is metaphoric. This is a picture, right, of his need for cleansing, and what cleanses more than a coal? So that God takes that cleansing and applies it to this prophet's mouth and says, okay, there you go. Because I have taken your sin away, I have atoned for you. What does that for us? What is it that does that for us? It was not a rhetorical question. What does that for us? What atones for our sin? What takes our sin away? The blood of Jesus. It doesn't just cover over like the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves. It doesn't just cover over for a while and has to be covered over again and again and again and again. No, no, no. The blood of Christ takes away our sin. And so we stand forgiven. We stand redeemed. We live in the holiness of God. We get this. We are saints who sometimes sin. We are saints. The Bible calls us saints. To the saints in Ephesus, I write, Paul often said. To the saints in so-and-so, I write. To the saints at Cross Point Church, I write. Say, no, not me. Not me, man. You don't know me. I'm not a saint. Yes, you are. If you are in Christ, you are a saint. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, then your sins have been atoned for and they have been taken away. And now you and I are saints. How cool is that? You see, worship of God leads us to an awareness of our cleansing. And in our case, having the blood of Christ already applied to us, and we realize that we have been co-crucified with Christ and co-resurrected with Christ, and now we live with Christ as our righteousness, and we live in his righteousness, and his righteousness is a cover over us, so that now when the Father looks at us, saints, he sees Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. That's good news, isn't it? Worship leads us to a sense, an awareness of our need for cleansing, and our celebration in that. And our thankfulness to Jesus for his shed blood and his broken body, which Pastor Dave is going to remind us of a little later in communion. So worship of God. But as I said earlier, I don't think this happened in 60 seconds. This wasn't an infomercial given 30 or 60 seconds in the midst of the story of the prophet. No, no, no. This is a big chunk. This is a grand production. This is a realization of the fact that he was in God's presence and something he experienced, as far as we know, only once in his life. And he spent time there, in the presence of God, waiting on God. Waiting on God will lead to several things. Waiting on God will lead, one, to godly decisions. Moses was in a quandary. Moses was, you know, the prophet and the leader, and kind of the everything for the people of God in the time where he, after he brought them out, God brought the people of Israel out. But Moses was so much laid on his shoulders. Amazing. But there was a situation in the book of Numbers where somebody had come in contact with a dead body. And they were supposed to celebrate Passover, but this person realized, I have come in contact with a dead body. So am I okay to celebrate Passover or not? I don't want to offend the holy nature of God, yet I want to celebrate Passover, and I don't want to miss it. So I can bring the question to Moses. This is found, by the way, in Numbers chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. And there were certain men, and by the way, if you picked up a copy of the notes, this is in there. And there were certain men who were unclean through touching a dead body, so that they could not keep Passover on that day, and they came before Moses and Aaron on that day, and those men said to him, "We are unclean through touching a dead body. Why are we kept from bringing the Lord's offering on its appointed time among the people of Israel?" And Moses said to them, "Wait that I may hear what the Lord commanded concerning you." Moses didn't just jump and say, this is what I think. He said, wait, let me go to God. Let me ask God. Let me take some time here to go and ask God. Let me wait on God. And God gave him the answer. And the answer was, let them celebrate the Passover. So he said, okay, guys, you're on. On the other hand, King Saul chose not to destroy King Agag, his livestock and his treasures, as the prophet Samuel had told him to do, and his kingship went steeply downhill from there. Because you see, the mistake that King Saul made was this: rather than waiting on God and listening to God and asking God what to do and remembering what God had told the prophet Samuel, he made an assumption, he made a hasty choice and decided not to take out Agag and all his stuff, but to let them live. And his kingship, as I said, went downhill from there. He decided not to wait for God's answer or listen to God's voice. Waiting on God will also lead to courage, clarity, and conviction. The psalmist says, and as I looked at this, I saw so many things that apply to us as we wait on God, but I just chose a few. The psalmist says in Psalm 27:13, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord, he exhorts us. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. How can we do that? How can we do that? How can we take courage and wait for God? Only when we know that God is going to show up. He's going to give answer. He's going to lead. He's going to protect. He's going to provide. He's going to be who he is, in other words. Sometimes I wonder, help me with this, would you? Those who are more versed in theology than I am. Sometimes I wonder why it is that we ask Emmanuel to be with us. God, would you be with us? Isn't that his nature? That's his nature, right? He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. But we say, God, would you be with us? I'm traveling to so-and-so a place. God, would you be with us? He is with you. He's Emmanuel. So we celebrate the fact that God is with us. And so we have courage as we wait on God and say, God, here I am. I'm traveling to so-and-so. I'm doing this and that. I'm going to be at risk. I'm glad that you're with me. There was a time in Nigeria when there was a civil war in the area where we worked. and those who had sort of kicked off this war had a plan of taking out key leaders in the government and key Christian leaders, and this dude named Jim Black, because he was working among Muslims, and Muslims were coming to faith in Jesus. So they wanted to get rid of me. And I have been back there many times. So far, they haven't been able to get rid of me. I still am a pain in the neck to them. But you see, waiting on God and knowing what God is leading us to do and doing it brings a lot of courage. Amen? Waiting on God brings that conviction and that courage. Waiting on God does so many things. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil desires. Here's another one. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. I shall not be shaken. Because you spend time waiting in God's presence. Waiting also will lead us to hope. The psalmist writes, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchman wait for the morning. More than a watchman for the morning. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. And when we wait on God, and when we spend time in His presence, and when we listen for His voice and listen for His direction, and we follow Him, we find this sense of hope. Okay, that's where the rabbit trail ends. Back on track now, okay? Back to Isaiah. Isaiah 6, verse 8 especially. Because worship of God and waiting on God leads us to a clear sense of what our work is. So the prophet writes, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. It is almost as if the prophet is eavesdropping on God. The Trinity is having a conversation. God is having a conversation with God's self, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're having a conversation, and the conversation goes, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And the prophet is listening to this conversation, eavesdropping. And he said, it only takes two words in the Hebrew. I don't have any tattoos, by the way. If I did, I would have one on each arm. Chaneni, here am I. Shalakeni, send me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, God, I'm in your presence. Chaneni, send me. Here am I, recognizing you. Here am I, in your presence. Here am I, understanding your divine nature just a little bit, just a glimpse, just a picture, just a snapshot. But here am I. Send me. As Isaiah spent time in God's presence, as he waited on God, he heard God's concern about what God wanted to accomplish, and the prophet volunteered for the mission. Isaiah's call to action, or call to work, arose from waiting and worshiping. Here's some great advice from the psalmist. This you won't find in your notes, by the way. This I added this morning. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in God, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll show you what to do. He'll grant those desires of your heart. In fact, he'll give you those desires. Delight yourself in the Lord. I think that is really at the essence, at the heart of what worship is. Delighting. Delighting in God. And the psalmist says again, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So I delight not only in God, but I delight to do the will of God. It's not a heavy burden like, ugh, I can't do this. I don't want to. Somebody's pushing me into it. I have to because there's a need. No. I delight to do your will. I delight. And then this verse from Ephesians 2, which I love, which is also not in your notes. We are his workmanship. We are his Picasso. We are his Rembrandt. We are his Michelangelo, as it were. We are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works don't earn us favor. Good works don't earn us any points in heaven. Good works are an outcropping of our relationship with God, our love for God. And Jesus says, this is God's will for you. This is God's will for us, that we abide in Christ, that we abide in the Word, that we abide in His love, and that we bear much fruit. That fruit is joyful obedience to the will of God. I delight to do your will. You know, sometimes well-meaning Christian people dive into work that is not meant for them. Not meant for them. They dive in because they see a need, or they are manipulated by guilt. All too often I've heard people quote Philippians 4:13 as a proof for their diving in to this area where they're not called and not gifted to. And they say, yeah, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That context is taken completely out of the context of the Scriptures, by the way. Did you know that? Completely out of context. Let's look at that verse, those verses in Philippians 4:13. It says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, he says to the church, but you had no opportunity. He's talking about their giving financially to him for his ministry, okay? You had no opportunity before. You wanted to give, but you didn't have an opportunity, okay? Now that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I'm in, I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. In other words, how to be broke. And I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when somebody says to me, oh, I'll dive into that work because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, would you do me a favor, please? Would you do me a favor? Open your Bible with them to Philippians chapter 4 and read the context to them. And help them to see that that's not what Paul was saying. Anytime you see a need, just jump in because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No. No. God has good works for you to dive into. He's created you for good works. But he knows you because he created you. And guess what? He gave you gifts. He's given you abilities. He's given you talents and training and opportunities. He knows you. But this does not give any of us an excuse to sit, soak, and sour. You know what I mean? Believing that God has not called us to anything. So I'll just park myself in front of the TV and eat ho-hos until the kingdom comes. That's nonsense. If you have a sense of what God has called you to do, perhaps if you don't have a sense, if you don't have a sense of what it is God has called you to do, perhaps the problem is that you're not listening to him. I'm not trying to guilt you into anything. Please, believe me. I'm not trying to say God's will for you is that you teach second grade Sunday school because there's a need. I don't know if there's a need or not. What I am saying is this. God has called us into the work. God has created us a masterpiece. And he asks us to step into the good works he's prepared for us. As Isaiah heard God eavesdropping on God's conversation, and God says, who will go for us? The prophet says, here am I. Send me. You know, when I read the Gospels, I have this sense that Jesus really should have been in much of a bigger hurry. He should have been in a much, much bigger hurry because he had so many people to preach the gospel to, so many cities to preach the gospel. He had so many people to heal. He had so many people to deliver. He had so much to teach his disciples. I mean, he could have been working 26 hours a day and never taken a day off and never taken a Sabbath and never taken time to pray because he was way too busy. But that's not how Jesus lived. He says, the Father is working and I'm working. And he somehow had time to break fellowship, to break company with the disciples. They're going one way, and he's heading up the mountain to do what? Go skiing? No. To pray, to wait on his Father, to listen for the next steps. He had took time. He didn't have time. He took time to wait on God. Find out what the next steps were. He was never in a hurry. That kind of bugs me about Jesus, actually. Because Lisa will tell you, I often am in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. But I'm almost 64, and I'm learning to slow down a little bit. Out of force, not by will. Margie quoted Elizabeth Elliot in her comments earlier. Elizabeth Elliot is the widow of the late Jim Elliot, a missionary who was martyred in Ecuador in the 1950s. Jim Elliot said this about finding and fulfilling God's calling for your life. Jim Elliot said this, Lord, make me prosperous. I like that part. Make me prosperous, not that I may achieve high station, but that my life may be an exhibit to the value of knowing God. So that my life may be exhibit one to the value of knowing God. Friends, as we enter into the new year 2023 together, as a community of God's people, Cross Point Church, I would like to invite us, as Dave said, Pastor Dave already said, to be a people of the Word, to have the Word in front of us and to be reading God's Word and studying God's Word and contemplating on God's Word and finding tools to help us understand God's Word and finding Bible studies to help us to in communities to help us understand and apply God's Word. Be people of the Word. Amen? And also to be people of worship. I believe that some of us are on a severe intermittent fasting program. We gorge ourselves on Sunday and starve ourselves the rest of the week. And that's not God's plan for you or me. We ought to come to Sunday morning full and overflowing and waiting to share with somebody else that I can spill a little bit of joy. Lisa was a nursing supervisor in a nursing home, and she would just go in in the nursing home, and that's her nature. She shines, you know. If you know Lisa, she shines. She can't stop shining. She has a smile, and she shines. And one of the nursing assistants said to her one day, "Don't you dare try to share your happiness with me." When I heard that, I just cracked up. Just because your cup is full, don't let it spill on me. Just because you've been spending time with God, just because you've been absorbing His Word, just because you've been waiting on Him, just because you've been listening to Him, just because you walk in the fullness of the Spirit, don't let that shed on me. Don't let it spill on me. Nonsense. It's going to spill out. The overflow of your life will spill out. But hey, listen. Hey, listen. If you come on Sunday morning empty, it's okay. Maybe you've been pouring it out all week. Maybe you've been investing in your neighbors and in your friends and your family all week, and you come Sunday morning and your batteries are low. It's okay. I pray that God will meet you. And speak to you. Recharge your batteries so that you can be worshiping Him and waiting on Him and have a new, fresh sense of what it is God has called you to do and to be. Let me put that the other way. To be and to do. Right there in your neighborhood. Right there in your ministry. Right there in your school. Right there wherever it is that you have your sphere of influence. So if you come empty, don't feel guilty. Let God charge your batteries. Fill you up. Enjoy the fellowship. But walk in fullness. Walk in His Spirit. Keep step with the Holy Spirit. Be worshipers, waiting on God, allowing Him to speak to us, allowing Him to lead us. Not diving into work because there's a sense of guilt. Well, somebody's got to do it. It's not my gift. It's not my thing, but I got to do it because I got to do it. No, there's no joy in that. And part of the idea of gifts is joy and grace. What he's calling you to, you'll have joy and grace to do. It might be hard, might be tough, but God will be there in the midst of it. Oh, and by the way, the prophet Isaiah had a very hard calling. He had a hard message, a very hard message. And history tells us that it cost him his life. He was martyred because people didn't like his ministry or his message. So it's not going to be all butterflies and hummingbirds, friends. As you follow hard after God and do what it is God has called you to do. Worshiping him, waiting on him, and finding out the next steps. Join me in just a word of prayer, and then I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Dave to lead us in communion. Oh, Lord, it is our desire to be people of the Word, to be steeped in the Word, to know your Word, to abide in your Word. It is our desire also to be people who worship you, worshipers of the living God, ready to do what you call us to do. May 2023 be a year typified by these things.